Good morning. Today we continue the series on the fourth servant song in the book of Isaiah. The fourth servant song is recorded in Isaiah 52 verse 13 to Isaiah 53 verse 12. Today we will look specifically at Isaiah 53 verse 2. But first let's remind ourselves of Isaiah 53 verse 1, which posed the question, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Verse 2 answers the question posed in verse 1. Verse 2 states, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 2 represents a reason why the report of verse 1 was rejected. Verse 2 represents a reason why the gospel message of verse 1 was rejected. Verse 2 paints the circumstances of Jesus' origins and life, and in the minds of the Jewish people, these circumstances did not fit with their concept of God's promised Messiah. Isaiah 53:2 begins with, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." The Hebrew word translated for tender plant refers to a sucker branch, a useless, uncultivated, unwanted, parasitic shoot off the main plant, which is removed so that it can't drain resources from the main branches. This suck-up branch grows from the base of the tree trunk, where they siphoned off moisture and nutrients. They also make the tree more susceptible to harmful insects and disease, so they must be removed. The metaphorical reference to Jesus as a sucker branch here reflects the fact that his humanity seemed to the Jewish people irrelevant, insignificant, inauspicious, and totally unpromising. Jesus' parents were common people without any social status. Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. Carpentry then was a lowly profession. There was nothing ostentatious about his family. Jesus did not come from a brand name family. Jesus did not come from a powerful or influential family. Verse 2 says that Jesus came as a root out of dry ground. The phrase "a root out of dry ground" is a close parallel to the expression "a tender plant." But the connotation is slightly different. Here is a phrase that literally means a parched wilderness portion of the earth. It describes a sapling no one purposely planted and no one cares about. It's another way of saying that as far as the Israelite society were concerned, Jesus was unwanted and Jesus was unimpressive. It's a way of saying that Jesus gained nothing in the eyes of the Jewish people, having regard to his family, social status, and his mostly uneducated, unrefined working class followers. Jesus grew up in Nazareth, which was a small village off the beaten track in Galilee. Nazareth was far from the centers of Jewish culture and religion. So insignificant was Nazareth that it is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. Nazareth was a place from which nothing good could be expected to come. Jesus lived there in complete 30 years, working as a carpenter until the start of his public ministry. From a Jewish point of view, the idea that the Messiah could be a nobody from nowhere was simply ludicrous. It was simply ridiculous. Isaiah 53:2 tells us that Jesus was a root. What does a root do? The root absorbs the water and nutrients to feed the plant. The root sustains the health of the plant. The plant depends on the root for its survival and its well-being. The plant can't grow without the root. The plant without a root will die. The plant depends on the root. So the root is essential to the plant. So too the Lord Jesus is essential for your spiritual life and spiritual sustenance. Jesus came to be root to support your existence. If the Lord Jesus is not your root, then you have no life. You are spiritually dead, and the wrath of God towards sinners is hovering over you. You cannot have spiritual growth if Jesus is not your root. You cannot bring forth spiritual fruit in your life if Jesus is not your root. You, my friend, cannot have a genuine spiritual life if Jesus is not your root. The root of a plant absorbs the nutrients in the soil and passes it on to the plant. Jesus is this Christian's root that gives spiritual nutrition to his people. His people are those who have repented of their sins and have surrendered their lives to him. The root of plants grow down into the earth and anchors the plant. As the storms of life rages on the earth, can you say that your soul is deeply anchored? The deeper the roots, the firmer the plant. The writer of the book of Hebrews says to Christians concerning Jesus that we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, Hebrews 6 verse 19. With Jesus as our root, we can face the storms of life. With Jesus as our root, we can rest assured that nothing on earth can uproot us. With Jesus as our root, he supplies grace on grace on grace for us to flourish in the dry ground of this sin-cursed world. Usually we don't see a plant's root because it is under the ground. We cannot now see Jesus with our physical eyes, but Jesus has blessed us to the point where we can see him with the eyes of faith. A dry ground sinner will not produce spiritual life on his or her own. The dry ground sinner is cursed by sin. The dry ground sinner, whether he or she knows it, is experiencing a barrenness of heart. There is nothing that can grow in the dry ground of a sinner's barren heart. But Jesus, as the root out of dry ground, springs up to give life to persons dead in their sins. Salvation is eternal life coming to something that is dry, spiritually dead, and spiritually barren. That is what Jesus does when he imparts eternal life. That is what Jesus does when he imparts salvation to persons who are sinners. That is what Jesus does when he takes the spiritually dead and transforms such persons to become spiritually alive. That is what Jesus does when he imparts eternal life to those who repent and surrender their lives to him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 verses 1 through to 3, "And you, he," that's Jesus, "made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." In other words, Jesus brings life to barren souls. Jesus is able to bring spiritual life to the deadness and barrenness of life that are lived under the control of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus brings life to deadness of souls on the basis of his grace. There is no merit in you or me or anyone that could have influenced Jesus to impart spiritual life to dead souls. He did so purely by his grace. We are saved by his grace and we are kept by his grace. The Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1 verse 16, "And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace." Jesus bestows grace to those who are saved. Jesus brings us life. Jesus brings us peace. Jesus brings us joy. Jesus brings us blessings. Jesus has no shortage of grace. It is of his fullness that we receive grace. The psalmist in Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Jesus came into the hearts of Christians when there was no life in our hearts. Jesus can cause life to come to your dry ground. Jesus can cause life to come to your dry ground made barren by sin. In 1 John 5:12, we read, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Jesus came to impart life to those made barren because of sin. Jesus still imparts life to those who are dead in sin. Jesus still imparts life to those who are living in a dry ground. Let Jesus be the root to impart spiritual and eternal life to your dry ground. We will continue the series next week. Until then, may Christ bless you greatly.